Thank you, everybody, for joining tonight's share, Parshas Ki Savo. It is interesting that Parshas Ki Savo discusses the Bikurim and Arami Oved Avi, which is the language that we use during Pesach. So I just wanted to talk about this pasuk that we have, Hashkifa Mimon Katshecha, Uvarech Es Amcha Es Yisrael, that we reach toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we reach toward heaven, and we ask Hashem to bestow upon us this blessing of Mimon Katshecha, from the eternal, like from the inner sanctum of holiness that Hashem should bestow upon Klal Yisrael. And where does this all come from in the context of Bikurim? So just wanted to explain a little bit about Bikurim before we do a little bit of a deep dive into, I want to touch upon Rosh Hashanah for a few minutes as well, because we're steadily approaching next week. It's really fascinating how close we are. The concept of Bikurim is that, of course, we know what it means, right? We spend time digging up the earth and planting the seeds and waiting for the harvest to come to fruition, literally and figuratively. And then the first crops are then taken up to Yerushalayim. But there's a certain element of joy independent of going up to Yerushalayim. The fact that you put some water with some seeds, and Hashem, every time you buy a fruit, you see that there's multiple ways that we can regenerate that very same fruit. There's watermelon seeds, there's avocado, you break the pit and you put it into the earth. And anytime someone plants something, there's so much joy when fruit comes out of the earth. And to wait all that time until the fruit is ripe, and until it's ripened, and then to instead of it, you know, enjoying it at your table, you say, this is for Hashem. So that's the joy. The joy is that you're giving it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving what you have. You're demonstrating HaKaras HaTov. You're demonstrating an understanding of the bracha where we say, Borei Pri HaAdama, that something is going to be created from the earth. And it may never have dawned upon a person to think about that blessing before, but then when you take the fruit from the earth and you make that bracha, that is really crystallizing the whole process by which sustenance comes into this life of ours and what sustains us. And then you become dependent, or think about the same talamata levracha versus morid hageshem, when the winter comes along. Why? Because during certain intervals of the year, the crops can only grow if the rainfall is just sufficient enough that it benefits the crops. Because if the rainfall is too strong, then it could destroy all the crops. And we've seen examples like this recently that were reported out west, where rainfall could be too strong or it could be too dry in climates like in California, where there could be bushfires. And so everything is all about the temperament. And there's a certain element of blessing that we in general refer to as nature, but really is inherent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intercedence in providing us with everything that we desire, everything that we need. In fact, today, nowadays, we live better than kings and queens many hundreds of years ago, because we can go into the supermarket, generally speaking, and get any type of fruit, product, whatever we desire. It's all at our fingertips. So the first level is to take something, to grow it, and to nurture it, and to see it, you know, hold it, and then to gather it. The second level is to go up to Yerushalayim. We discussed a few weeks ago the fact that when there was an instance of a time of being Ola Regel, there were no signs that alerted folks how to get to Yerushalayim. However, when it came time for someone to find an Ari Miklat, there were signs. Where were the Ari Miklat located? And the reason why is because we want people who are being Ola Regel to visit our homes. They're coming from distant places, and they come with their own stories, and they come with their own travels. They come with their own hesitations about a trip that would take them to be Ola Regel 3 times a year. It sounds like a small number, but Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, the distance, the time, the effort, it's no different than planting seeds. It just takes time. And we realize that in life, the only thing that we have is time. And time is really fleeting. It's not in our fingertips. But when we see the completion of time, which is the completion of the harvest, that's when we take full stock and we are makir tov takash baruch hu. I wanted to leverage the beginning of the parsha with the end of the parsha, or what we call the 100 non-blessings, a derech naki, which is a derech, like a clean way of describing things that are not pleasant for us to read about. Reason being, Chazal say, because it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tichl Hashanah B'Kol Asah, that we started last year emphasizing that we're going to do things better. And now we look at this year and we take stock and say, have we really accomplished our goals, our spiritual goals? And in addition to other materialistic goals, have we reached the zenith of where we really want to be? And the answer is never, because we're always lacking something and there's always room for improvement. That's the reason why we are called B'nai Yaakov, or B'nai Yisrael, as Yaakov is also referred to, because Yaakov is really the word Akev. Akev means heel. That means that we have to look at ourselves at the heel to say that there's so much more for us to grow, to get to the Rosh, to get to the head. And there's so many opportunities that are always in front of us when it comes to learning. There are shiurim. When it comes to going back to school, there are graduate courses. There's always something that a person can strive for and reach, so long as they make the effort to do so. So with regard to Esau, for example, he's Ishli Rav. He has everything. So what does he have to do in order to make himself better? He's already there. But B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael, we are, or Beis Yaakov, as we like to refer to the girls, or B'nai Yisrael, as we refer to the men. So the girls and the boys, they have their own respective classes, but the idea is one and the same. We always are in a state of transformation and building and growing and excelling. And when we look at these now, we pivot ourselves and look at these 100 non-blessings, we have to ask ourselves, was there an instance beforehand where we can counter these non-blessings? And the answer is, sure. There's a concept of being Makir al Atov, which is what we say, Modim. Modim bikavana is, as we say in the Pasuk in Akev, Ma Hashem Shom Emachim Liyiras Hashem. It's in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud, if my memory serves correct. It's a Pasuk that says, what does Hashem desire of you? Kim Liyiras Hashem. You have to fear Hashem. If you look at that Pasuk, it says everything. You got to do the mitzvah, so you have to fear Hashem. There's so many responsibilities that come along with this. Chazal say, don't look at it as Ma, as what. Look at it as me'a, that Hashem desires 100 blessings. As David HaMelech once said, Ulama Gever Hukam Ol. We say about David HaMelech, we're not for this person who established all a new covenant. Ayin Lamed, 70 plus 30 is 100. So he made it so that we should all say 100 blessings every single day. But yet we know there are times when we may not feel so well, we may not be able to get to shul, or women are not required in certain mitzvahs that men are required, such as putting on towels and tefillin, etc. So the question is, how do they reach the 100 blessings every single day? It's quite challenging. And the answer is that the Das Kinnan brings down that if you say modim bekavana, you're yotze zan. Why? You're yotze because modim is mem vav dalid, 40 plus 6 plus 4 is 50, and then you have a yud and a mem, 10 and 40, that sums up to 100. So it's one paragraph, and it's like the secret sauce, but it comes with a broader message. It's the same message that we had at the onset of the parsha. Leket, Shikra, and Peah, we say Baruch Atah Bevoecha, and Bevoecha refers to the mezuzah, it refers to the Torah in the home. Ubaruch Atah Betzisecha, Chazal say, referred to Leket, Shikra, and Peah, that we provide for those that are needy, the maestros, so that they have what they need to survive. And the interesting dichotomy here is that the recipients could be, of course, aniyim, but they also could be the most illustrious among us, such as the kahanim. They're the ones who come knocking on the door and ask for handouts, and we give it to them. But it's not easy for them to ask, because at the onset of the day, these are the folks that we are traveling to see in Yerushalayim. And they're the ones who are listening to us say, Arami Ovid Avi, Vayeri Mitzrayimah, Vayagasham Mseimaat, Vayisham Lagai, Gadol Atzim Varav. And everyone is saying over the same story. One would think that the Kohen would be so dismissive and say, listen, I've heard this story before. Everyone's telling me the same story. And the question is, why is it necessary to keep on repeating this story to the Kohen? And the answer is no less different than what we see in Parshas Pinchas. All of the Nesiyim are mentioned, that everyone has the same karban, that they're bringing forward. And the question is, why is it necessary? Why can't we just say that for all the Shvatim, or these are the Kavanas that were brought? And the answer is because everyone has their own story. Everyone has something unique to share. And everyone has something that requires the Kohen to hear his message. Yes, it's the same message, but it's not the Kohen listening so much as the person who's saying it, and the Kohen on the receiving side that is receiving it. So when we say something, it carries with us our story. And the question is, what is our story? How do we bring our story forward? And when we look at this parsha, we see a wholesomeness. It is the last parsha before we start the onset of the Rosh Hashanah season with Nitzavim, Ata Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. The language in Nitzavim is the word Lefnei, which is the word of Panoi, to turn. And in one sentence, Hashem is looking at us. Are we ready to turn to Hashem? And that's why this parsha precedes it. Because when we bring the Bikurim up, we are turning to Hashem. We are bringing our best crops. And that really was the fundamental machlokas between Kain and Hevel. Who is bringing the best of their share forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And when Kain saw that Hevel's was being received, he got jealous. And what do we learn from this? We learn that whenever we do something, we always must do our best effort. We cannot just simply, as they say in Top Gun, there's no room for second best. There is no room for second best. Whenever we do anything, when we do mitzvos, when we do chesed for other people, when we cook meals for other people, we put the best ingredients into the steak or into the mashed potatoes and green beans, whatever it is that we're preparing for somebody else. Why? Because we want that person to enjoy it. And that's the same way that we do our tefillos. We bring it forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we want Hashem to enjoy the nachas ruach that comes with performance of mitzvos. So that, my friends, is a brief nutshell of Parshas Kisavo. And I wanted to just share with you a thought or two about Rosh Hashanah, because I just wanted to interject here a little bit. We know that Rosh Hashanah is going to be the following week on October 2nd. It's going to go until Shabbos. And so we're going to have a Shabbos that is ushered in with Rosh Hashanah. So it's going to be a little bit of a longer Yontif, Wednesday night through Friday, and then right into Shabbos. We go right into Shabbos. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem created Adam and Chava, which really brought together the full assessment. Hashem is including mankind in his divine mission, right? As we say, Istako Baraiso Bariyama. Hashem looked at the Torah and created the world. And as we also say, the pasuk that is brought down in Yirmiyahu, I believe it is, were it not for Klal Yisrael learning Torah day and night, there would be no need for Hashem to create the constellations of heaven and earth. So our Torah learning is what sustains the world. And I just wanted to focus quickly on the shofar. We know that the primary goal of Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to anoint Hashem as king, because only when Hashem is anointed as king is it possible for a king to judge his subjects. And a king's greatest measure of majesty comes when his subjects or his people freely, intelligently, and enthusiastically choose to serve him. The king cannot force people to serve him, but when people serve him, and that demonstrates a certain level of understanding, freedom of choice, right? We have the Bechira Chafshis. That is what defines that relationship. And we know that the centerpiece of Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar. We do this 100 times. And there are a few reasons for the shofar. The first is that we use the shofar to remind us of Yitzhak Avinu, because Yitzhak Avinu was prepared to sacrifice himself on Rosh Hashanah. But we know that an ayal took his place. And that's why it says, Tekah b'shofar gadol l'chayrasenu. Because there was one ayal. We know that a ram has two horns. So one ayal was, so to speak, the first. And then we have a second ayal that will be used when Mashiach arrives. So that's why it says, Tekah b'shofar gadol l'chayrasenu. We say that every day in Shemoneh Esrei. We will blow from the shofar, the great shofar, at a future point in time. when Yitzhak did this act, it reminded all of us and it infuses within us the ability or the capacity for our own self-sacrifice and our unique way of exerting kindness to each other. The second reason why we blow the shofar is because this is how kings are, so to speak, welcomed. We know that in our own modern day, it wasn't too long ago, last year, King Charles became king, and there were a lot of trumpets that were being blasted. So this is the way we announce kingship. And in our realm, this practice goes back to the time of Yitzhak Avinu. The third is that the shofar reminds us of the eternal voiceless call sounded by the Nevi'im. We know that the Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and this shofar blast has echoed through millennia until our very day. And it really demonstrates the souls or the neshama's yearning to return and our own aching heart to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, my dear friends, I know that I took you over a little bit. I'm sorry. But I wanted to share with you not only Parshas Kisavo, but also a little bit of a foreshadowing into Rosh Hashanah, the three reasons why the shofar is blasted. And I wanted to wish everyone this week and every week a success, mazel, bracha, gezunt, and maybe for me a little bit of rest to catch up from this prior week, but Baruch Hashem, and we should only know simchas going forward.